Hi, and welcome to our podcast, M&C. I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Chase.
And today we'll be talking about a little bit of ourselves and what we believe in America's history.
All right, everybody, welcome back to M&C's podcast. I'm here back with Mercedes, and we're going to get into some questions today.
All right.
My first question for you is, What were some of the specific issues / conditions facing the United States prior to entering World War One?
Well, the U.S. was not in the best, economic state. We either were overproducing certain, I don't want to say items, but certain things, or we were underproducing and our trade wasn't, the best. We also had little to no democracy, at all. And that's, obviously one of the things that changed after World War One, and same with our economic status. So, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So my second question for you is, how would you describe how the United States got involved with the war prior to officially declaring war?
The U.S. pretty much got involved because Germany had sunk some submarines, and it wasn't just by accident. It was on purpose, and they held attacks on their merchant ships as well, which obviously those held their supplies that the U.S. needed, or they were taking to other countries or places that they had that trade organization going with. So not only did it stall both sides, but it really, obviously depleted both sides of their certain supplies. So that obviously made them mad. And, they weren't necessarily, going to get involved, but, decided to once that happened. And there are definitely some major misconceptions, though. And people usually say that we went into war by mistake, which we did not. It was definitely filled with purpose, and that Germany was starved out in the war. They were not starved out. We didn't, cause that in any way, shape, or form. That was just due to if they, did go through the depletion of their food supplies, that was based on only their country and how much they were producing, or their, allies.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so for my third question, What were the biggest / most radical changes to American society that occurred during World War One?
All right, so there's definitely a few examples, gender roles. So for that, women had to work in place of male farmers and, other jobs. And for the they were called farmettes when they were in place of male farmers. And it was actually to the point where after the war that the men workers actually, relied on the women workers because, they work just as hard as they do. There was also a Navy section branch that was opened up to women. So not only were, there's nurses for the people who are injured in war, but now there was a section in the Navy. They called them 100% girls, and there's tons of different names, but the most common one is the 100% girls. And, the women did all get pretty much, I would say, somewhat equal pay to the men, but for both jobs. But for the 100% girls, it was a little bit more hard to get that job because you pretty much had to be perfect in any single way. And there were the exams to get into that section were extremely hard from what I've read and what I've heard. And, for our economics, after the war, our economic status, increased a lot. And I was going to say we became the big dogs in a sense, we were on top, we were the biggest, economic, country. with, you know, tons of money, tons of supplies, tons of, like, forces, you know, allies, and, you know, even still, like, during the war and, like, after, you know, the economy was still growing for us. And, you know, the racial relations was that, you know, African Americans, you know, they actually got the chance to fight in the war, where they would fight side by side. And, you know, they were really good at their job. There was one mission, though, in the war where, you know, it was African Americans and whites that went. And only, I believe it was only, like, one white man came back and the rest were all African American. And, you know, and during that whole thing, you know, the Africans, they wanted democracy, they wanted to be treated equally. And, you know, this was just a new stepping stone for them to be able to be treated equally, because it was a new job opportunity. It was a chance to prove themselves, you know, that they fight for the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for politics, I mean, it didn't really change much. You know, there was still, you know, two different sides, and, you know, sometimes they didn't agree, and, you know, sometimes they did. But I would say that they somewhat did learn how to respect each other's opinions without, you know, getting, you know, put on blast, like, hey, like, your opinion doesn't matter, or your opinion's wrong. And, you know, the last thing is, you know, media is that they cover a lot more than just, like, you know, the negatives. Like, I think back when it was World War One, you know, they were really focusing on the negatives that were happening, you know, to obviously expose the things that were happening, but also to get, you know, more readers. But now they kind of cover, you know, not only negatives, but they also do positives. They try not to get false information, but things, you know, do get twisted, or they get the wrong information, and it causes a whole panic. But it's not as bad, I would say.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. So for my last question, so, is there a way that you could possibly describe Wilson's 14 points and how it was significant to the United States?
Yeah, I would say this, it was like a statement of principles for, like, peace that were used for, you know, peace negotiations, and it was really in order to end World War One. There was a lot that they followed. I don't think that they didn't follow a single one of them. Maybe some were put as to being, you know, maybe more or less relevant, or to more being, you know, I guess, like, less, like, strict about some of them. But we've never, I don't think, not followed them. You know, we've always, you know, like, the third one, it was in order to have open markets and, you know, peace organizations and, you know, there's a lot more to it, but we've always followed them, but I just don't think that some of them have been as strict, or we've been more lenient.
Yeah, I agree. So, and for one more, mm-hmm. Is there any way that you could define the terms of the Treaty of Versailles? Sorry, excuse me. What did each of the following countries get as a result?
Okay, yeah. You're excused. The Treaty of Versailles was a treaty that ended the war, or World War One, and it was definitely one of the most important treaties. For Germany, it gave Germany new boundaries, but they were also required to take responsibility for causing all the damage in the war, and they had to pay a pretty big amount of money as well. And they also had to rebuild what they, you know, damaged. France, the West, Alsace and Lorraine were returned back to them. So their territories were returned back, and they were also given more colonies. England got more colonies, even though they wanted Germany to pay, you know, get revenge on them. They, you know, in return, obviously, because they did sign this treaty, so it was a peace treaty, so they couldn't retaliate against Germany. And the U.S. got a huge economic boom and would come out on top, but it also called for reestablishment for the League of Nations as well.
Amazing. Yeah, that concludes all of my questions for the segment. So thank you so much.
All right, and we'll be back after the break. All right, and we are back. So, Chase, I have some questions for you as well.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, so the first question is, you know, like, what were some of, like, the specific, you know, like, maybe issues or conditions, like, facing the U.S. prior to, like, entering World War One?
Yeah, so during the war, the U.S. tried to really remain neutral. Like, they didn't really want to get involved. Like, it wasn't, like, you know, a big, like, oomph for them.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. was a big supplier to the U.K. and France and a lot of other allies. Germany, however, took, like, some low blows and targeted some of our, like, ships that imported goods.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what led to, like, the Germany's, like, submarine, like, warfare that we had with them.
Yeah.
And it also led to the Lusitania sinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it also led to the Zimmerman telegram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And our next question is, like, how can you describe how the U.S. got involved with the war prior to officially declaring war? And maybe you can give us some misconceptions?
Sorry. Germany definitely barked up the wrong tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like, Germany had sank a lot of, like, the U.S., like, ships and everything.
Yeah.
And that's what really, like, was the big, like, thing for President Wilson to declare war with Germany.
Uh-huh.
A lot of, like you said, like, some of the misconceptions were, like, the U.S. went in by mistake. But obviously we know that that wasn't the case. And that Germany, like, had it coming for them, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. And what were the most, you know, the biggest, most radical changes to, you know, American society that occurred during World War One?
Yeah. So, after World War One, economically, everything had increased, like, really well. Like, everything was super beneficial, and everything just, like, everything was just basically more positive, and, like, everyone had a lot of more opportunities, and even for women, like, they were, like, nurses in the war, but they were allowed to do, like, so much more, like you said, like, how, like, they had that own section, like, the whole section, like, their whole, like, branch, and that, how, like, women had to, like, work on farms with, like, the males, but, like, obviously, like, the males kind of, like, depended on them.
Yeah.
And even, like, African Americans, like, I think they played a huge role in the war. Like, a lot of them were, like, shut out from, like, helping. But I think it was, like, France that, like, I think their, like, numbers were low or something, and that they really need men, and they didn't care, like, regardless of the skin color. And, like, the African American, like, community really, like, showed, like, who they are and really put a name out for themselves. And I think that they really, like, proved everyone wrong. And I think when they came back from the war, everyone, like, you know, like, kind of, like, gave them, like, you know, not, like, they gave them, like,
recognition.
That was the word.
All right, and could you, like, define Wilson's, like, you know, maybe 14 points, and what was the significance to this, and, like, you know, maybe which did the U.S. follow?
Yeah, so I think the U.S., like, they followed, like, pretty much all of them, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some of them were more important, and some had more significant, like, roles.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think the U.S. followed most of them that I know of.
Okay. And my last question is, can you define the terms of the Treaty of Versailles and what did each of the following countries get as a result?
So the treaty was very significant in the war. It is what actually ended the war, and each country gained a lot from it. Mm-hmm. And like, I know like France and like England and Russia and all them, like they like gained a lot more from it, and Germany, I kind of like suffered, like they were like the lowest of the pack, like they like suffered the most with it because they like caused like all the damages, and like of mm-hmm. course they're going to be held responsible for all that. So yeah.
All right, well, that was my last question for this segment, so thank you very much.
No problem.
And we will be back. All right, and we are back. Okay, I have some good questions for you, Chase.
Yeah, go for it.
Why do you think World War One does not get the same cultural recognition that World War Two got?
Yeah, so I think in World War One, America was a little bit less involved in it, and you know, like I said in the last segment, we weren't really like, really in the mindset of like we're gonna go into war. So, but World War One or World War Two, sorry, my bad, did have more advances, like technology, and they had like that's when like television and film started like coming out, and World War Two did have like a greater amount of people that were involved in like each country's, so yeah.
Okay. Now, of all the changes and impacts that World War One has had, what were the long lasting and most significant?
Yeah, so many Americans after the war, a lot of the men had to return home and really try to commute back to the way their life was before. And for a lot of them, it was really hard because a lot of them had PTSD from the war.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were also very ill, and some were even disabled, along with like on the disabled part, like, you know, some soldiers wouldn't have, like, you know, like, limbs or, you know. And then, also World War One is, it led into, like, huge technology advances, like I just mentioned in the other question, that was used in World War Two.
Yeah. And can you discuss the biggest changes to, like, average American life and their impact to the way people interact with their government and with each other?
Yeah, of course. So men, obviously, were sent off to war, and that really separated families. And, of course, that caused a lot of, like, mental issues. And women had to start working more, and children and women also faced a lot more working than they were really used to. And minority groups, after the war, had still faced discrimination, and even returning from the war.
Yeah. And then could you pick two important changes to the U.S. from this era and connect them to, you know, now and your life today, and how maybe you're personally impacted by these?
Yeah. So I know in America, the U.S., once every male turns 18, we are automatically, like, picked to, like, be dropped into the war, in case there is a war. And so, that's, like, something that, like, I didn't really know when I was younger, and I'm sure, like, that's how it was for, like, probably kids our age back then, like, once they were, like, legally adult, like, they were sent off. And then, also today, like, discrimination was a huge thing. Back then, and you know, people of minority groups and a lot of people of color faced a lot of discrimination, and fortunately in 2021 we have done such a great job of making sure they're included and having all these movements that obviously they didn't have all the way back then.
Yeah.
And I think it's really amazing to see how much have changed, how more we can change in the future with just over time. Obviously, I think more should have been done by now, but we're going in a more positive direction.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for answering these questions. And we will catch you back in the last segment.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's time to ask Mercedes some questions, and we're gonna hop right up into it.
Okay.
So my first question for you is, why do you think World War One does not get the same cultural recognition that World War Two gets in the United States?
I think that kind of like how you said, like similar, like we were more involved in World War Two than how we were in World War One. We only got involved in World War One because Germany did seek us out. And I think a lot more, like, I guess bigger events, you know, happened in World War II, and World War One was just, like, a little spark and, like, a flame, I guess, you know, to, like, yeah. That really, like, set in motion that really, you know, like, caused, like, big, you know, the big World War II. And so that's what I think.
Yeah, totally. I agree, too. So for my next question, of all the changes and impacts of World War One, what were the longest lasting and most significant, like, changes?
I said that, you know, the most long lasting was our economic growth that we gained from World War One. You know, we did come out on top with the most, you know, the best, you know, economy and the best economic state. And, yeah. You know, after, you know, the war, still to this day, we do have one of the biggest economies, and right. We are still doing very well, and it still grows every day, you know. So that's what I think is one of the most long-lasting, you know, changes.
Yeah, totally. So, moving on, what were some of the biggest changes to average American life and their impacts to the way people interact with the government? And, yeah.
I would say, like, the discrimination factor was obviously one. Even though we, like, still face some of it today, it's definitely not as bad as it was, you know, during, you know, World War One. You know, before, you know, African Americans weren't allowed to have certain jobs. They couldn't, you know, gain certain property because of their skin color, you know. In their own neighborhoods, you know, they were getting, you know, racial slurs, and they were, you know, getting made fun of. And, you know, obviously now, you know, every single person has, you know, they tried, you know, I guess, to give an equal as opportunity as they would to everybody else. And African Americans are allowed to have any kind of job, you know, it's never really a problem. And, you know, military draft that has, you know, pretty much, you know, gone away for now. Obviously we're not in a war, so right. And you know, obviously, like in World War One, like you were pretty much forced. If you were 18, you know, it was like, oh, if you're 18, you know, you're forced, like you have to go into the war. You know, they didn't have a choice. But you know, now it's like on people's own terms and their own will, like they go into the military if they want to. And the Espionage Act is obviously still in effect, especially with, like, you know, like important, like classified information. You know, that's, you know, pretty self-explanatory. I don't think you would want your enemy country or enemy, like, territory to know classified information. The Sedition Act is still intact, but I don't think it's as strict as it used to be. You know, like, that was, you know, you couldn't, like, have a freedom of speech. It was kind of, like, peaceful protests weren't really, like, those were kind of frowned upon, you know, people got in trouble for that. But, you know, now, obviously, with, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, that was most, like, you know, there was some peaceful protests and nothing happened to those people. And there have been peaceful protests and, you know, obviously people have the freedom of speech and they can say whatever they want. And, you know, you also have mobilization, which, you know, does still happen when there are big wars or any in general. So, obviously, you know, there are still, you know, wars going on that, you know, we could obviously be not aware of. But, you know, big, severe ones, there aren't really any at this moment. So, yeah. All
right. Can you pick two important changes to the United States from this era and how you can connect them to your life in 2021?
I would say one of them was how bad, you know, African Americans were treated. You know, obviously I am part African American, so back then I would have been treated very differently. You know, I wouldn't have as many opportunities as I do now. And another one was that women were able to work, you know, in the military and not only have better jobs, but more equal pay. And as a woman, you know, back then, before, you know, World War One happened and, you know, the opportunities, I wouldn't be able to have all of this, like, you know, opportunities that I would have getting jobs and being able to have equal pay. And so, you know, when World War One happened and that happened, you know, I would have been able to have more opportunities and I wouldn't have to be forced to stay at home and, you know, and raise kids, and that would be, you know, my job.
Yeah. Yeah, that concludes all my questions.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, that is the end of our podcast. Thank you for listening.
It was nice having you.
You too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, ciao, guys.
Peace out.